Well, please take your Bibles and open with me at this time to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, and I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. So our message series is on prayer. And in this series, we are focusing particularly on praying for things. Praying for things. And if you struggle with prayer, if you struggle with seeing your prayers answered, then this is really a great series to learn from God's Word, not only what you should be praying, but also how you should be praying. So last week we began the series by looking at a number of principles that apply to praying for things in general. Now over the next 6 weeks we're going to look at praying for various specific things. Praying for forgiveness. Praying for healing. Praying for victory over sin. Praying for church and family. Praying for the lost. And then finally, praying for missions. Now, of course, there are many other things we can be praying for as well, but those are some very important things that God tells us to be praying for in His Word. So today we're talking about praying for forgiveness. There's an outline in your bulletin if you'd like to take that out to follow along and maybe jot down some notes as we go through the message. We're going to be looking at a number of scriptures throughout the course of the message, but we're going to begin right here with these verses from 1 John chapter 1. Will you please stand with me at this time for the reading of God's Word? 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His Word has no place in our lives. This is the Word of God. Let us pray. Well, Father in heaven, as we look at these verses and others this morning on the topic of prayer and forgiveness, Holy Spirit, we ask that You would speak to our hearts even now, that You would just give us a willing heart to hear from You today. And our Lord, help us to not only hear Your Word, but to obey. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So today in our Praying For series, we are talking about praying for forgiveness. And the reason we're starting with this one is there's really nothing more important you can pray for than forgiveness. And in fact, until you pray for forgiveness, you can't pray for anything else anyways. This is where it all begins. We are all sinners. And even after we come to Christ, we continue to sin. And so it is essential that we make confession of sin and praying for forgiveness a regular part of our daily life. So that's what we want to look at this morning. What does the Bible teach us about praying for forgiveness? Now, there is praying for forgiveness as a believer, and then there's also praying for forgiveness as an unbeliever. I want us to talk about the unbeliever first. When we talk about praying for forgiveness as an unbeliever, we are basically talking about praying for salvation. We are talking about moving from unbelief to faith. And this is the very first step in praying for forgiveness, because once again, until you're saved, you really can't pray for anything at all. So I want to take a moment at the beginning of this message to talk about that. How do you pray for salvation? This is important for you if you don't know Christ. It's also important for us who do know Christ, because this is something we need to share with people, don't we? We need to share with family and friends and coworkers who don't know Christ and need to know how they can pray for salvation. So here are the ABCs of praying for salvation, okay? Admit that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. Believe in Jesus as your Savior. And then pray to God, confessing your sin, and Jesus as Lord. Folks, this is so easy that even a child can do it, and yet it is so difficult that many adults never do it at all. So let's take a look at each step in the process. First of all, admit. Admit to God that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. This includes repentance or turning away from your sin. And this is one of those parts that's so hard for us as adults, isn't it? Right? Because we don't want to admit that we need a Savior. And we certainly don't want to change. And yet that is an essential first step to praying for salvation. And when you think about it, it should be easy to admit that you're a sinner, right? Because it's something we all share in common. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned. All fall short of the glory of God." And so if we're all sinners, and if we're all in need of the Savior, if we're all in the same boat, then why is it so hard for us to admit that? And it really all comes down to pride, doesn't it? We don't want to admit that we need a Savior. And so we get stuck on that very first step. Proverbs 28:13 says this, "He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy." So there it is again, confession and repentance, or admitting your sin and renouncing your sin. And that word confession, it's a fancy word, but it simply means to agree with God. It simply means to say the same thing that God says about your sin. Well, what does God say about your sin? That's not very pretty, so hold on for a moment. But be ready for this. This is what God says. God says that your sin is a transgression of His holy law. It is an act of rebellion against your Creator. It is an affront to God's holiness. God says that your sin separates you from Him, and that if you die in your sins, that you will be separated from God for all of eternity. God says that your sin is deserving of eternal punishment. That unless your sin is forgiven, that you will suffer eternal punishment in hell when you die. And God says that you cannot fix this problem of sin on your own, and that is why you need a Savior. So let me ask you this morning, do you agree with God? Do you agree with what God says about your sin in His Word? Because you see, that's the first step in praying for salvation. You admit that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. You repent, turning away from your sin. The second step is to believe. To believe in Jesus as your Savior. You've just admitted to God that you need a Savior. Next, you now need to believe that Jesus is that Savior who can save you from your sins. John chapter 1, verse 12 says this. It says, "Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." Now, I want you to notice something here. I want you to notice that you don't need to do anything in order to be saved. You don't need to go to church for some specified number of time, how many weeks, right? You don't have to do some great act of sacrifice or a certain amount of good works or religious deeds in order to be saved. You don't even need to clean up your act first before you come to Jesus. The Bible says you just need to believe. Salvation is not something you earn by doing it. It is something you receive by believing. And the reason you don't need to do anything to be saved is that you can't do anything to be saved. You can't do anything about your sin. And that's why you need a Savior. And that's why you need to believe in Jesus. There are two things in particular that you need to believe about Jesus. You need to believe who Jesus is, and you need to believe what he did for you. So who is Jesus? He is the Son of God who came to earth as a man to be your Savior. And what did Jesus do? He died on the cross for your sins. He rose from the dead so that you could be forgiven. So let me ask you this morning, do you believe those two things about Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus is God's Son who came to earth as a man? Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that he rose again from the dead? He is alive today. Do you believe that? Amen. It's so important. John 3:16 says what? It says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And so that's the second step to praying for salvation. You believe in Jesus as your Savior. So A stands for admit, B stands for believe, and then C stands for confess. After admitting your sin and believing in Jesus, you now go to God in prayer, confessing your sin and confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. We read from Psalm 32 earlier in the service. Let me read verse 5 to you again now, where David says this. He says, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says this, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. When you come to Jesus for salvation, God forgives all your sins. He forgives all your sins in the past. He forgives all your sins in the present. He even forgives all your sins in the future, the sins that you haven't even committed yet. Folks, why wouldn't you want to come to Jesus for salvation? So that's our first step this morning. How do you pray for salvation? You admit that you're a sinner, that you need a Savior. You believe in Jesus as your Savior. You confess your sin in Jesus Christ as Lord. So that's praying for forgiveness as an unbeliever. Well, what about believers and praying for forgiveness? Well, for the unbeliever, praying for forgiveness is all about praying for salvation. For the believer, praying for forgiveness is all about confessing sin. Now you might say, well, wait a minute. Didn't I already do that when I prayed for salvation? Yes, you did. And you're saying that I need to keep confessing even after I'm saved? Yes, you do. See, confession of sin isn't something you only do once. Just because you confessed sin when you got saved, that does not mean that you do not continue to confess sin after you're saved. You might ask, well, how often do I need to confess? Well, that depends. How often do you sin? Right? See, confessing sin is not just for unbelievers, it's for believers too. Now, confessing sin is a little different for the believer than for the unbeliever. For the believer, confessing sin, it's not a matter of your salvation. Rather, it is a matter of your ongoing fellowship with God. So here's what the Bible says. Unconfessed sin breaks your fellowship with God. Confessing sin restores your fellowship with God. So let's take a look at each of these principles now from God's Word. First of all, unconfessed sin breaks your fellowship with God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 says this, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. In other words, you cannot have fellowship with God while you are walking in darkness. If you want to have fellowship with God, you need to confess your sin, bring it out of the darkness and into the light. Because unconfessed sin will break your fellowship with God. Psalm 66, verse 18 says this, "If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened to my prayer." Now that verse applies to unbelievers too. That's why your very first prayer needs to be a prayer for salvation. But it also applies to us as believers. If you are cherishing sin in your heart, if you're refusing to confess sin as sin, if you're refusing to turn away from sin in your life, then as a believer, that is going to affect your ongoing relationship with God. And what does Psalm 66 say? It will affect your prayer life too. If you cherish sin in your heart, God will not listen to your prayer. And that's really another reason why our prayers sometimes go unanswered. Because we have unconfessed sin in our lives that we are unwilling to bring into the light by confessing that sin to God. Unconfessed sin breaks your fellowship with God, but confessing sin restores your fellowship with God. 1 John 1:9. What a beautiful verse of Scripture. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And notice once again, you don't need to do anything to restore fellowship with God. Just as with your salvation, it's not dependent on your works. What do? You simply confess and believe. We all sin. So it's not sin that is a block in your relationship with God. It's not sin. It is unconfessed sin that is a block in your relationship with God. The question is often asked, well, what if I forget to confess something? What do I do then, right? I mean, we all sin a lot, so it's likely that you and I have probably forgotten to confess a certain number of sins to God. Does that mean my fellowship with God is blocked? Well, in this case, what you need to do is make a general confession of sin. That's why the psalmist prays in Psalm 19, verse 12. Prays, "Who can discern his errors? Lord, forgive my hidden faults." What is he saying here? He's saying, "Lord, my sin runs so deep. There are sins I've committed that I don't even know I committed." And so he asks God to forgive his hidden faults as well. Folks, we all have hidden faults, sins that we either forgot we committed or we didn't even realize we committed at the time. And they may be hidden to us, and they may be hidden to other people, but they are never hidden to God. And that is why specific confession of sin and general confession of sin are both important. But whenever you can, specific confession is always better than general confession. It's like in a marriage. When you've done something wrong, it's one thing to tell your spouse, "You know what, I'm sorry I mess up a lot," and just leave it at that, right? How much better to apologize specifically for whatever it was you did that caused the offense? Specifics are important. Unconfessed sin breaks your fellowship with God, and so it's important to keep short accounts with God. As soon as you recognize that you've sinned, that's when you confess it. Confess it to God right away. Don't wait until later. Because confessing sin restores your fellowship with God. Praying for forgiveness as a believer is all about confessing sin. Now, some people ask the question, do I ask God for forgiveness? Or do I thank God for forgiveness? And the thought here is this. When you prayed to God for salvation, God already forgave your sins. We talked about that, right? Past, present, and future. And so the thought is, in a sense, you don't really need to ask God for forgiveness because He's already forgiven you. So why not, when we sin, why don't we just simply say, "Thank you, God, for forgiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross and forgiving me." I got to say, there's a lot to be said for this approach. A lot of positives. It's certainly good to thank God for forgiveness. And it is good to recognize that God has already forgiven your sins in Christ. So which is it? Do I ask God for forgiveness? Or do I thank God for forgiveness? And scripturally, the answer is both. We find both in Scripture. We should both ask God for forgiveness and thank God for forgiveness. We find an example of thanking God for forgiveness in Psalm 103. It says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion." So we should thank God for all of his good gifts to us, right? Forgiveness is one of those good gifts. And so, yes, we should thank God for his forgiveness, but we should also ask God for forgiveness. Jesus taught us to ask God for forgiveness. It's right there in the Lord's Prayer. We prayed that earlier this morning, God's model prayer for every believer. Jesus says this in Matthew 6. He says, "This then is how you should pray. Forgive us." Forgive us. Remember, this is a prayer for believers, for those who call God Father through Jesus the Son. And I believe the reason Jesus tells us to ask for forgiveness, even though we're already forgiven, the reason he tells us to ask for forgiveness is because forgiveness is more than just a transaction. It is part of a personal relationship. Now, the transaction part of forgiveness, that's already been taken care of, past, present, and future. You see, God wants us to ask for and receive forgiveness on a personal level as well. Think of a child here coming to their parent, saying, "Hey, Mom, hey, Dad, I lied to you. Thank you for forgiving me." Now, the parent loves the child. And that parent has already forgiven the child, no matter what they've done. So in a sense, the child is right in simply thanking them for their forgiveness. But you know, there's something missing there, isn't it? Something missing, because on a relational level, it's still important for the child to say, "Mom, Dad, I'm sorry. Please forgive me." In order to truly restore the relationship, the child still needs to ask for forgiveness. The parent still needs to extend forgiveness. Then it's appropriate to thank the parent for their forgiveness. So do you ask God for forgiveness? Or do you thank God for forgiveness? Yes. Right? Yes, it's not either or, it's both and. Both are scriptural, both are important. Finally, let's talk about forgiving others, the third part of your outline. Because the Bible also teaches us that forgiving others is an essential part of praying for forgiveness. Let's go back to the Lord's Prayer again. Jesus taught us to pray, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." Notice how Jesus instructs you to pray here. Let me paraphrase it for you. Ready? "Dear Lord, please forgive me in the exact same way that I forgive others." Now, if you're not very good at forgiving other people when they sin against you, this is a prayer you're going to have a real hard time praying, isn't it? You would be more likely to pray this prayer: "Dear Lord, please do not forgive me in the same way I forgive others. Please forgive me in a very different way than I forgive others. Lord, please forgive me even when I don't forgive other people at all." Jesus says you can't pray that way. That is not praying according to God's will. And remember, last week we learned that you need to pray according to God's will. So if you're going to pray for forgiveness, guess what? You also need to forgive. Now, this does not mean that you will lose your salvation if you are struggling to forgive someone. Jesus is not talking about the transaction of forgiveness here. You were forgiven transactionally the day you put your faith in Christ. He's talking about personal forgiveness, the removal of any and all those blocks between you and God, the restoral of fellowship. When you refuse to forgive others, even as a believer, you are also breaking fellowship with God. So that's the first part of forgiving others. Jesus taught us to pray, forgive us as we forgive others. Now, how are we supposed to forgive others then? We are to forgive others as Christ forgave us. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And how did God in Christ forgive you? Fully, completely, lovingly, unconditionally. Now you can see why you need to be saved before you can do any of this, right? Because until you're saved, you will find it very difficult to forgive others at all. And until you are saved, you will find it impossible to forgive others as Christ forgave you. And so the Bible teaches us that both believers and unbelievers need to pray for forgiveness. Unbelievers need to pray for salvation so that their sins can be forgiven and they can enter into a right relationship with God. Believers need to confess sin and ask for forgiveness in order to maintain fellowship with God. Praying for forgiveness. Folks, it's free for the asking. This is a free gift of God's grace purchased for you by Jesus at the cross. And this is where it all begins. Because until you pray for forgiveness, you really can't pray for anything at all. Let us pray. Well, dear Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your kind and gracious offer of forgiveness. Lord, we ask your forgiveness even this morning for all those years that we spurned your offer, that we held back from trusting you as Savior, that we treated this most precious gift ever offered in the history of mankind and the universe, we treated it as a small thing, something that we didn't really even care about. Forgive us, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would help us every day, as soon as we know that we've sinned, just to confess that to you, God. Lord, I don't want to be out of fellowship with you for any longer than I need to be, and I don't need to be at all when I confess sin. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here who doesn't know you as Savior, I pray, Lord, that they have heard the gospel today in a very clear and understandable way. They know that you are standing ready to give them forgiveness of sins, eternal life, deliverance from eternal punishment in hell, that you stand ready to give all of that today if they will simply believe in Jesus as Savior, confessing their sin, confessing Jesus as Lord. I pray that today would be that day. Today is the day of salvation. Touch their hearts even now, Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.